The following program is for mature audiences only. Football talk shows, most of them sound like this. Blah, 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 blah. Not this one. That's because it features the former director of college scouting with the Chicago Bears. He worked on the staff that drafted, you know, the likes of Devin Hester, Olin Krutz, Lance Briggs. He's the man who takes shit from absolutely nobody. He's Greg Gabriel. Gabriel joins longtime Chicago sports reporter David Schuster. And this is, accordingly, Gabriel Schuster Talk Bears.
And welcome in once again to the latest edition of the Gabriel Schuster Podcast. I'm David Schuster, and that handsome man on my right with his cowboy hat right behind him, by the way, that's the new and improved Greg Gabriel, who comes off the injured list to once again kick our collective butts all over. I love that hat. You're a bounty hunter wearing that hat. How you feeling, Greg? Because I know you're coming off the injured list. And like I said, once again, you can kick everybody's collective butts. How you feeling?
I got to tell you, my wife is pissed at me because she's been on a diet trying to lose weight. I have not been on a diet, not trying to lose weight. And I've lost 28 pounds now.
28 pounds.
I'm down to one last night, 178 pounds from 206.
Wow.
And
wow.
That's since mid-July.
Do you want to keep it off or do you want to put it all back on?
Well, no, I'm getting too thin, but it is what it is. I it's not like I'm trying to. I mean, I was working out hard before I had that surgery to get my leg ready for it. But now I haven't done anything in three weeks yesterday as far as working out. And I, just because I'm not doing that, I've dropped weight.
All right. Well, again, you had some surgery on your knee replacement and, you know, you had a little bit of, you're under the weather, not COVID. And so you're back and you're looking healthy. You see some color in your face. Good to have you back here. Aldo filled in for you one day. Those were big shoes for him to fill. I think he did a pretty good job, I'll be honest with you, Greg, but it's good to have you back. And today here, Greg, we're not only going to preview the game upcoming on Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers up at Lambeau Field, but we're also going to take a hard look at the Bears roster and hierarchy through the first 10 games of the season. We'll go over yesterday's results in the NFL. We're recording this on Monday afternoon. We'll take a look at the standings as well. But, Greg, it's Packer week, and you were in Halas Hall for many years in your old capacity. Let me just ask you, is there a different feeling? We've always been led to believe, we're always been told this, there's a different feeling at Halas Hall during Packer week. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true, and it's because it comes down from ownership. You know, obviously, you know, I could put it this way. And when Bobby DePaul and I worked together under Jerry Angelo, you know, with the Bears, Bobby came up with the phrase, and actually it was 100% true. We're part-time employees. We get hired. We have no idea when you're getting fired or, you know, when your regime is changing. Well, everybody else in the building is a full-time employee, you know, and some have been there for forever. So, you know, for the part-timers, meaning the coaches and player personnel staff or whatever that comes in with changes in an administration, I don't think when you walk in the building, you necessarily get the rivalry unless you were part of the NFC before. Like I came from the New York Giants, you know, we had our own NFC East rivals. And so to get caught up in that right away, I think it's a little more difficult. But I know, you know, ownership puts a lot of, I'm not going to say pressure, but a lot of onus on the week. I remember when Lovey got hired, Mike McCaskey told him right from the start, the most important thing you got to do is beat Green Bay. You know, everything else is secondary after that. So to the McCaskeys and a lot of people in the building, and especially the fans too, it's a huge week.
No question about it.
And I think when you're a player, the longer you're a Chicago, you know, when you're a player, the longer you're a Chicago Bear, the more you get wrapped up in the rivalry.
Well, as you just saw on the screen, or maybe you didn't, the Packers lead this all-time series 99-95, and I guess there have been six ties. I don't recall any of them. But it's a big game, obviously.
That's before we were born, probably.
No doubt. The Bears have to win this game if they even want to remain in any kind of playoff contention, much less the division race. They've lost four in a row, Greg. They're at 5-5 right now. Now, they got a break yesterday with all the games that happened in the NFC North. The Packers lost. We'll talk about that. The Vikings lost. We'll talk about that. The Lions came back to reality. They lost as well. So the Bears at least got a break yesterday, but they have to win this upcoming game. Now, the biggest question going into this game, we're going to hear from Matt Nagy in just a second here, but the biggest question is who will be the Bears quarterback? Because when last we left, again, sounding like a Batman serial show, Nick Foles went down with that hip injury against Minnesota, and it looked really serious. They had to cart him off. But apparently, after doing some re-examining over the next day, two, three, it's not as bad. Now, he wasn't supposedly on the field at Palace Hall today. Mitch Trubisky supposedly was out there throwing, but we don't know, probably won't know until later on in the week, who's going to be the starting quarterback. As far as, you know, who it is, why don't we hear from the head coach right now, Matt Nagy? He talks about and gives us an update on the quarterback situation.
We're going through and just trying to figure out, okay, health-wise, where they're at, and then also us too, like coming through the bye, like I said, us evaluating where we're at as a team, as an offense, all of that is on the table. So we've had the ability to get away for a little bit, us as coaches, and do what we need to do individually away from the building, or some of us at the building. But for the most part, you know, we're just going to kind of get till Wednesday and just see exactly where both these guys are at in the quarterback position wise.
All right. So Greg, you know, if all things are equal, and I don't think either one of these guys is going to be 100%. Foles has got the hip injury, Trubisky coming off that shoulder injury, but let's just say they're equally healthy enough to start or play in the game. Which guy would you go with, against the Packers on Sunday night?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter who I'm going to go with. It's who the coaching staff's going to go with. And I think that, And to put it the way you put it, all things being equal, I think they stay with Nick Foles. That's assuming he can play. Now, not practicing today means nothing. This Monday practice after a bye week is basically a walkthrough and get your legs stretched out, etc. The important practices as far as game prep are Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So if Foles is not able to go on Wednesday, and Trubisky's shoulder looks like he can get through a game and throw the ball, then I think Mitch will start. It's really dependent on the health of Foles.
All right, we're just seeing on the screen, this is going by right now, that the Bears have placed Eddie Jackson on the reserve COVID-19 list. That does not mean that he won't play in Sunday's game. A determination on his status will be later on in the week, but they're keeping a close eye on him. We'll get more about the Bears in just a second here. But again, I'm going to ask you the question, if you, knowing what you know and what you've seen so far, if all things are equal, the Bears have lost four in a row, who would you start at quarterback on Sunday?
Nick Foles. He processes better, he reads the field better, and he's a more accurate downfield thrower. Now, I'm going to say this, and I get it that people are saying, well, Foles hasn't played good either. Well, the offensive line has stunk. It's been terrible. And you can't expect – the running game is bad. That's not the quarterback's fault. I think a lot of the blame of the offense has to go with the offensive line. So whose fault is that? Well, that actually doesn't even go on the coaching staff. That's got to go on the front office. They're the guys who brought in the players. And so, you know, they signed their two tackles, Leno and Massey, two extensions. Neither one is playing up to par. And, you know, I think the interior of the line is pretty good when they're healthy. Now, you lost Daniels. And I know, you know, Olin Krutz thinks that Daniels is the second best player on the offense after A-Rob. So when you miss good players like that, it's going to have a huge effect on the offense. But when the line as a whole is playing terrible, and you go into the previous two games and you're playing with a mismatched line, you had no idea during the week who was going to play, who wasn't going to play. That's going to have an effect on the whole offensive side of the football. And that is what it is. And I can't see, I hate to say this and admit it to you, David, but you're going to win our little bet, I think, because with the offensive line being as bad as it is, I can't see him winning more football games.
Maybe any more football games, to be honest with you.
That's what I said. The talent is a lot better than that, but if you don't – to win in the National Football League, you got to have three things: an offensive line, a defensive line, and a quarterback. Well, they got the defensive line. Right now, they don't have the offensive line and the quarterback. Makes it real difficult to win.
Yeah, well, I'll win that bet, but you already won one earlier.
I know, so it's break even. That's why I can admit that to you.
We'll find another one. We'll find another one to break the tie.
A tiebreaker, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, but I'm going to answer my own question here, Greg. I think I would, if all things are equal, again, they have to be healthy, both of them, or at least healthy enough. I think I'd go back to Trubisky, and it's nothing against Foles, although I just find him to be, at best, an average quarterback himself. Trubisky, same thing. I've said this going all the way back to training camp. They're both just average quarterbacks playing behind a bad offensive line, so that makes them even worse than being average, unfortunately. But I don't know. I just have to have a final say on Trubisky before I give up on him completely. They gave up on him after that interception. I think it was in the Atlanta game. And if, I'd go back to him, Greg, because I don't think the season for me is already lost. That's me, the fan, saying this, and maybe the reporter as well. But the coaching staff still believes that they have a chance to get into the postseason. So they're going to go with whoever they feel gives them the best chance to win games. I just don't think they're going to win any games.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. And here's the thing. What does Mitch bring to the table that Foles doesn't? His ability to move.
Right.
He just hurt his shoulder again. And we saw last year, after he hurt his shoulder, the running part, the running game of his game went nowhere. He stopped running. And I cannot see him. Yeah, he'll still be able to extend plays, but I don't see him trying to purposely make plays with his feet unless he absolutely has to, because he wants to protect the shoulder.
Okay, let's take a look at Green Bay real quickly. They lost yesterday in overtime. We'll talk about that in a little bit also, but they're now 7-3. They lead the division by a couple of games. Everything always starts and ends with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's been good again. He's been more than good again.
He's been great. I think that team is terrible without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
They're a two-win team if they don't have him. Did you watch any of that game yesterday?
I watched the entire game. Their defense is terrible. I mean, you can expose them consistently, especially.
Yeah, but you got to have an offense to do that. But I sent Chris Ballard some texts, and especially that last drive that the Colts had in regulation, where they had five holding calls. I think four out of those five were totally horseshit calls. A lot of times the hands, there was holding with their hands, but it was inside the frame of the body of the opponent, and that's supposedly allowed in the National Football League. I was going back and forth text messages with Ballard during this, and obviously he's agreeing with me because he's a GM of the Colts, but I just thought they were being that crew was being very, very nitpicky as far as making those calls. I've never seen a team ever, and I've been watching this game a long time, have five holding calls in one drive.
Well, not only were you commenting about the officiating, but once again, you were all over the broadcasters because you just think they're in love with the Packers, don't you?
Oh, they are. You got quarterback on quarterback there. Aikman is sticking up for his quarterback buddy, and I just don't like – I want an impartial broadcast crew.
You and hard I to find. You and I should do a game.
How about this? Did you see that in Sunday's game? It's Tirico and Tony Dungy.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you've seen those guys work together, but they do the Notre Dame home games.
Yes.
Dungy is really, really good. And Mike Tirico, I think, is one of the best.
Yes. Oh, and you had a tweet on Saturday, and I was at the Northwestern game. I'm sort of sidetracking here, talking about.
It's all right. We got an hour to fill about a losing team.
you tweeted out about Pat Fitzgerald, and I couldn't agree with you more. And if I had any kind of football ability, which I don't, obviously, nor do I have the size, that would be a coach that I'd want to play for. Pat Fitzgerald is such a genuine, good person who obviously also knows the ins and outs of football. He would be the kind of coach I'd love to play for.
Oh, no question. You know, I followed, since he's been the head coach, I mean, he became the head coach shortly after I came to Chicago. But you watch his teams. Now, he doesn't have the talent that Ohio State has, and he doesn't have the talent that Wisconsin had the other day. They just beat everybody on how those coaches prepare those teams. They never make mistakes or seldom make mistakes. They don't beat themselves. They play very strong fundamental football, and that's a tribute to the coaching staff.
100%. Last year it was an aberration at 3-9, but here they are. They're 5-0. All right, we'll talk about college more in a little bit, but getting back to Green Bay and Rodgers, and you're right, he is the team. 26 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. I say good. He's great again. He's been sacked 10 times. He's got a QB rating of 116.4. I don't know. The guy's like a fine wine. He just gets better and better.
No, that's what experience does. I mean, they step on the field. They're across from the defense. They see something. They know exactly what's going on right away. They know how to attack it. That's part of the preparation during the week. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody like that here?
We never have. I don't know what it's like.
I know.
I've watched it around the league, but I've never seen it here in person. Never.
I'm going to tell you, I'm in awe of this player, and he's only a rookie. The more I watch Justin Haber, I think he's – Haber, that's the Louisiana pronunciation. Herbert. The more I see him, I think he's going to be an all-time great.
Well, he's going to be Rookie of the Year. There's no question, especially after Burrow went down. And Burrow was having a pretty damn good season himself.
No question.
Unfortunately, his ACL, and they said his ACL, his MCL, Greg, and other damage inside that knee, he might not.
Yeah, that means there's probably some cartilage damage too.
Yeah, very unfortunate. All right, the Packers.
Yeah, give him 30 years, he'll have what I have. And
you mean he'll be doing this podcast with me in 30 years?
No, he'll be getting a knee replacement.
All right, Aaron Jones runs the football for Green Bay, 493 yards. He's 4.8 a crack, so he's not too bad. Davante Adams has had an all-pro season. He missed a few games, but he still has 61 receptions and 9 touchdowns. He's been really good so far for them.
Great player, but he is I don't think they have a good alternative to him, though. You know, there's guys that make a play here and make a play there, but if he's not in the game, they're hurting. I'll tell you, though, one of the key thing, I think it didn't seem to affect them that much in the game yesterday, but they lost their center yesterday. Now, who knows how long he's going to be out? But when you got a week to prepare and then try to scheme against a new center, you know, that could be a plus for the Bears.
All right, as far as their defense, and again, Green Bay's defense is not that good, obviously. Chris Barnes.
They got some good DBs, at least the one DB.
Okay, we'll get to them in a second. Chris Barnes, linebacker, is always a linebacker, leads the team in tackles with 15. They've sacked the quarterback 20 times. Za'Darius Smith has got 8 of those 20 QB sacks, so he's having a pretty decent season. But Green Bay's defense, even though you can move the ball on them, Greg, they don't turn the ball over. They only have 7 turnovers through 10 games, 4 interceptions, and 3 fumble recoveries. If the Bears have any chance, and it's not much of a chance, in Sunday night's game, they're going to have to find some offense against a pretty bad defensive team.
Yeah, and they're going to have to run the football. Know how you beat Green Bay? Don't let their offense have the ball, which means control the clock. And how do you control the clock? You've got to be able to run the football.
Well, I don't know who's going to be able to do
that. That's
right. Unfortunately. All right, Mason Crosby is still there. I think he's been there for a century now up in Green Bay. And he's had a good season. He's had up and down seasons, but this one's been good. He's 12 of 12 field goals. He's 31 of 32 in extra points. You can't fault him for anything that the Packers haven't.
No, he's very consistent. He's got more gray hair than I got, and I got a lot.
Where?
See that little bit that's in there?
All right, let's talk about the Bears. I'm not going to go over the stats, but what we're going to do here is, Greg, I want to do sort of like, and you can be a teacher here or a principal and give out your report card on a lot of the Bears through the first 10 games coming off the bye week. We talked about the two quarterbacks. I mean, Trubisky played a couple of games, got yanked in that Atlanta game. We may or may not see him anymore. And Nick Foles has been there ever since. And, I've gone on record as saying they're both at best average quarterbacks. I give them both at best a C grade so far.
I think you're being kind.
Okay.
I think you got to go deep.
I said at best.
I know. In all fairness, and I'm a home guy, I'm a homer, I think it's a D. The quarterback play has not been good.
Okay. And, you know, you got to factor in that they're playing both behind or have played more even Foles than Trubisky behind a butchered up bad defensive line to begin with. So that
right.
factors in a little bit here. The line. I'm just going to name names because it's been in and out, in and out. Charles Leno at left tackle. The left guards. Okay. All right. Oh, God, all of a sudden I'm having flashbacks of my report cards in high school. Alex Bars and Arlington Hambright at left guard.
They haven't played enough to do anything, but they're just guys.
That's right. They are. They're just guys.
So, you know,
complete.
Yeah. No, here, let me do it this way. Cause I thought about this the other day and, you know, we can go back a couple of years and the player I'm going to be talking about is Cowart. In preseason games a couple of years ago at tackle, he looked like, you know, especially that first preseason, he was a defensive lineman in college and on the practice squad his rookie year. Then they moved him over to the offensive side of the ball. So you said, you know, having played offense for the first time, he probably played some offensive line in high school, but not since then. The guy looked like he had some traits to be not necessarily a starter, but a quality backup. Okay, now he has to start games last year, replacing Long. Did he play good enough? No. Then this year he gets beat out. They bring in a Fetty. He still can't start. But then when Daniels goes down, he's got to go in and play. And now he's played left guard. He's played right tackle. It's not good enough. And my way of looking at it and what my experience tells me is that you want guys that you can rely on being your backups. And if they come in and play and it's a lot worse than what you have, then you need to replace that backup. And that's, he's not good enough. It's as simple as that. And I think that's the case with some of these guys. Now, you know, when you're talking Bars, he hasn't played a lot. And then he's never played center in his life, and he has to start a game at center. You know, he's a tough, competitive kid, a little tall for a center. He's like 6'6", 6'6", and a half. But who knows what he is. But, when I look at that team as a whole, I don't know what Spriggs is. You know, that was a Packer, you know, for his first 4 years. He hasn't played enough to know because he gets hurt in his first shot. I liked him coming out, but would Green Bay have let him go in free agency if he was worth a damn? So in all told, I don't think anybody's good. I think their interior guys, when healthy, are good. You got to go shopping for the rest.
Okay. But I'm asking you to give some grades. You gave a long oration.
D.
All right, and I was going to just add this. Bobby Massey at least caught a pass so far this season.
Yeah, but you know what? If you can't protect your quarterback and you're a tackle, what could it? And we've seen the run game. The run game sucks. And why does the run game suck? Because the offensive line isn't blocking.
All right, let's talk about the run game. Again, give out your grades. David Montgomery.
You know what? I like David Montgomery. I think if David Montgomery plays behind a good offensive line, he's a hell of an NFL back. So there's my grade.
Yeah, you know, in 2 years here's now, I don't even know what to make of David Montgomery. One thing I know, I have not seen any breakaway speed that they talked about him coming out of college.
I never saw that in college, and I did a lot of work on him in college. I mean, he had some long runs at Iowa State, but long runs in college aren't long runs in the NFL.
That's true. They just talked that he had breakaway speed. Unfortunately, he's never passed the line of scrimmage, so I can't tell you what kind of breakaway speed. Anyway, all right, so...
Didn't he have a 50-yarder a couple weeks ago? 45-yarder or something? Yeah, and he got caught, but I don't remember if it was pass but it was right down the middle of the field. He, you know, he's a 4.55, 4.56 guy. He's okay. You know, you get him a hole, he's going to have some big runs. But when there's nothing there, you know, it's not that he can't create. He's not helped.
Okay. All right. Cordero Patterson, and we're talking about him as a running back now.
Well, I didn't see the whole game last week because of circumstances. He did run the ball a little bit better in that game, but he's a return guy. You know what? You want to give him the ball twice a game and then use him out of the backfield, that's fine. He's a gadget guy. He's not an every down player. He's not a 12 touch a game player. You know, he's kickoff returns. He's a, three or four touch a game guy plus returns.
Yeah, we've talked about this almost every week so far that we've done this podcast. He's been a failed experiment as a running back. I mean, it just hasn't worked for a litany of reasons.
Right. No, I don't think he's instinctive enough to be a top running back. You know, be able to create at the line of scrimmage, find a second hole or whatever.
Okay, let's go to wide receivers. Let's start with Allen Robinson, still without that contract that he wants. But what kind of grade would you give him?
He's a number one receiver for any team in the National Football League.
Fair enough. So that means you're giving him an A.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to there are other two guys that have seen a lot of playing time, the rookie Darnell Mooney and Anthony Miller.
I'll tell you what, Darnell Mooney is – Mooney, not Moody – is, I think, the surprise of the offense this year. Maybe the coaches or the scouting staff thought he was going to be as good as he – has been. A lot of upside to that guy. He can run. I think he's still got to get a little stronger, a little bigger, and he will. He's not going to get a whole lot bigger, but because he's got a narrow frame. But he's a good player, no question about it. More consistent. Anthony Miller has come on the last few weeks and played better, but he still has a concentration drop here or a concentration problem with running the right route. And because of that, I'd only give him probably a C+ because of the gaps in his game. But Mooney, want to put a grade on him, B with the arrow going up.
Fair enough. All right, tight ends. Jimmy Graham first, Cole Kmet second.
Jimmy Graham started off good. He's kind of settled in, if that's the right way of putting it. I don't think he's been as big a part of the offense, whatever offense there's been, the last few weeks. Part of that may be, you know, you're getting into the back half of the season and Nate starts to catch up on, what is he, 34 years old? Mm-hmm. But he can still play. I'd like to see, you know, I'd put a, because he's not a blocker, a C+ to a B- on him. Cole Kmet, who knows what the hell he is? I saw Cole Kmet at Notre Dame a lot. I think Cole Kmet is going to be a very good pro. You know, what's the problem here? Why isn't he playing more? And you know, is there something missing that we don't know about that they're not saying? Or is it the coaching staff being stubborn and not playing him? You know, I don't know. And as far as the other tight end, you know, you can have him. And I'm talking about Demetrius Harris. You know, right. Yeah, it makes a, you know, I don't think he's strong enough as a blocker. He's not what you'd wanted him to be as a blocker. And you've got to have, especially when you got a weak offensive line, you got to have a guy like him be a strong blocker, and I just haven't seen it.
Okay. Overall, the offense, I don't know. I'm giving them a D overall, and that might be kind.
Yeah, D to D minus. I mean, like, hey, it speaks for itself. They haven't produced.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to the defensive side, and we'll give an overall grade at the end here. But
A.
Let's start. Okay, I would probably agree with that. Overall, let's start up front. Akeem Hicks. Well, let's go across the line. Akeem Hicks, Bilal Nichols, Mario Edwards Jr. Unfortunately, Roy Robertson Harris is injured right now, and Jenkins, you know, whatever. But the front three.
I'll tell you, to me, the surprise guy is
Edwards.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you going to say Edwards?
Yes. You know, he's been really a disappointment since he came into the league. He was supposed to be a top-notch player coming out of Florida State, been very inconsistent, been with a couple teams. I think he's played pretty good football. And the other guy that kind of jumps out, makes plays week after week after week, Brent Urban.
Yeah, I forgot about him, actually.
Yeah, Brent Urban is having a strong year. The line as a whole is playing good. They miss the big guy. Eddie Goldman's not there. An important part, they found a way to, you know, rotate guys to play that position. But Eddie Goldman's one of the best nose tackles in football, and it's a hard guy to replace.
Yeah. All right, let's do the linebackers as a unit, and then you can break them down individually. The starters, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, Robert Quinn. I'll give you my thoughts first. I mean, Mack is still Mack. You know, sometimes he's great, sometimes you don't notice him, but that's probably because he's still being double-teamed. On the other side, Robert Quinn has been a total disappointment so far. I don't know how injured he is, but he's been a total disappointment. Roquan Smith is playing all-pro football. And Danny Trevathan, after a slow start, for the most part, has picked his game back up to where he was in the past. That's the way
I agree with you, but I still don't think, as good as Danny has played in the last few weeks, I still don't think he's the Danny we saw pre-injury last year. You know, he doesn't have the explosive speed that he had. What the Bears have been doing on the opposite side, you know, across from Khalil Mack is really playing three guys. And when you look at all three as one, the overall play has been good. I think Mingo has actually been a pleasant surprise for me. He's not a pass rusher. They thought, you know, he got drafted like in the top five coming out of LSU. That's what people thought he was going to be, as a pass rusher. Same thing with Fuller last year. But he's been a solid player, plays the run well, does a good job on special teams. I agree with you. Quinn's been a disappointment. He hasn't given the pass rush presence that you wanted. And then you got, you know, Vauders and some of those other guys. They've come in off the bench and you know, made a play here, made a play there. But you still don't have that consistent force from one player across from Khalil Mack that you'd like to have.
And, you know, that goes on Ryan Pace, and we'll talk about him and give him his own grade in a little bit here. But let's go back into the secondary for the Bears. The cornerbacks, Jalen Johnson, Kyle Fuller, Buster Screen, and Nickel. Overall, pretty darn good. Yes, we knew that they would pick on Johnson being the rookie across from the All-Pro, but I think for the most part he's been pretty damn good. And Fuller, you know, you don't even notice him because they don't throw at him at all. That's how good he is.
No, and if you notice, they're not throwing at Johnson as much either. They're going after Buster Screen.
That's right.
And Buster Screen is not holding up. If there's a weak link in the secondary, it's him.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Your safety, strong safety. Gibson's been okay. Eddie Jackson, who we talked about earlier in this podcast, has gone on the COVID list. And by the way, the story on him is, apparently, he hasn't tested positive, but he's been around somebody who has tested positive. So they have to keep him on their COVID list through, I don't know, tail end of the week, and then we'll see what his status is. But
you won't see him practice. He'll get tested daily. And if he, you know, goes like, what is it, 3 days in a row without testing positive, he'll be playing Sunday.
Yeah. The kickers, no problem here. Matter of fact, they've both been good as always. Pat O'Donnell and Carlos Santos, he's now your place kicker. He's been that good.
He when's the last time he missed a kick? The second game? You know, he had a couple misses early, and after that, he hasn't missed one.
Yeah, he's been really good. All right, I got one more name here on the list just to get your dander up. Ted Ginn Jr.
Who's it, David Schuster?
No, Ted Ginn Jr.
He's gone. He gone.
Next one. All right, let's do the head coach, Matt Nagy.
C-minus. He's the offensive guru to a D-plus. I mean, and the offense. Now, granted, he's the head coach over the whole team. But, you know, I think when you look at it, you know, when Fazio was the Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator, Nagy basically let him run the show. I think he let Spagano run the show on the defensive side. Nagy oversees the offense, and the offense has been a failure this year. And it really was the offense was good his first year. Since then, the offense hasn't done anything. And here's the thing. Okay, he changed play callers going into that Minnesota game. So you thought you might see something different, and it actually got worse. So what is it? Is it the scheme? Is it the players? Well, I know the scheme works because it works in Kansas City and it works in Philadelphia. You know, and you got two Super Bowl winners with that scheme. So it's not the scheme. So is it how they call the plays? Well, you use two different people coaching the same offense, calling plays, and it didn't work. So now it gets back to me. To me, it has the whole thing gets tied up by one area, the offensive line. And if you don't get that offensive line working, that offense doesn't roll.
As they always say, Greg, it starts up front on both sides of the ball. All right, and so that offensive line hasn't been good this year, and you know, you did say going into the season COVID would hurt it even more this season, which it has, obviously, but it really hasn't been a strong point ever since Ryan Pace has come here, to be honest with you. So what's your thoughts on Ryan Pace and what grade you give him?
I think, you know, when you look at it fairly, he can't get a good grade because he's obviously the Mac trade was a home run. But, you know, I'll go back when I was writing for Pro Football Weekly and writing for The Score. I said that Ryan, and I like Ryan personally, he's really a good guy. But I said when he drafted Mitch Trubisky, he gambled his career on that selection. I wrote it, you know, the next day. And then followed up with, you know, 8 months later, he doubled down with the hiring of an inexperienced head coach. So I think you got to give Nagy an incomplete because he's not necessarily the guy making the decisions on, you know, all the players coming into the building. That's more on Ryan. And I think right now you can't give Ryan a passing grade. It's just, you know, the product on the field isn't good.
Yeah, I think the fan base would disagree with you on the incomplete on Nagy. I think even though he was coach of the year his first year and Pace won his award that same year, I think the fan base would be a little bit more harsher on the head coach.
Well, I don't really care. You know, no offense to the fans. I love them.
I know.
But
I know.
You know, that opinion doesn't matter to me because fans think about one thing, wins and losses.
Shouldn't everybody think about wins and losses in their performance?
Yeah, but you got to look at the product. I mean, the players on the field, not the players good enough. And right now, the players on the offensive line aren't good enough. And whose fault is that? You change the offensive line coach, it didn't get any better. You know, so now it's who brought in the players, and that's on Ryan.
Absolutely. All right, overall defense, you said an A. Overall defense, you said a D or a D-minus. That sort of evens out to a 500 average team, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, 500, you win.
I don't think they're going to win. What's that?
I said 500, you win.
Yeah, they won't go 500. I hate to tell you that when it's all said and done. All right, let's go around the league. As mentioned, the other three teams in the North all lost yesterday. Indianapolis took advantage of that overtime fumble by Green Bay, and they won the game. That was a good football game. I mean, it's a good game to watch.
Yeah, no, it really was. It was a Indianapolis made some mistakes early, got in a hole, but they came back. And, you know, the game was in Indy. Next week's game's in Green Bay. And even though you got – I think the Indy crowd, Ballard had told me that their mayor allows 7,500 people into the stadium, so that's what they had there. So I don't know if the crowd makes a difference, but still it's playing the game at home. I think the only way the Bears win this game coming up is if they knock out Aaron Rodgers in the first quarter, and I think they did that 2 years ago, and he came back miraculously.
Yeah, the only way I see the Bears winning on Sunday is if the Packers think the game's on Monday and they don't show up. Dallas and Minnesota.
Forfeit.
I didn't use that word. I'm just saying for sort of like senility on the Packers' part. Dallas and Minnesota. I can't figure out Minnesota. They're just a weird freaking football team. But Dallas gets a late touchdown. They win that game 31-20.
Didn't see any of that game, and I agree with you. I mean, Minnesota played pretty good against the Bears last week.
And 3 weeks in a row, they played pretty well.
Yeah, and Dallas stinks. And then they go, you know, play Dallas and lose.
Yeah. All right, Carolina. If Carolina shuts you out, you're really a bad football team, especially at home. And the Lions are all of that. They lost at home.
Well, that's your favorite team, David. We've been going through this part every week.
I'm not, you know what, I hate to have people lose their jobs, although, you know, Pat Patricia, you know, he doesn't really deserve that. God, whatever. We'll see what happens with them when the season's all said and done. All right, I've asked you this question for the last 5 weeks. Can Pittsburgh run the table, Greg? They're now 10-0.
Well, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but they got a pretty damn good chance.
They do now, and they play on Thanksgiving night, so after you down your turkey, you can watch them. That'll be the late game on Thursday night against a struggling Baltimore team all of a sudden.
You mean that 19-pound turkey for me and my wife that after we ordered a 14-pounder? Yeah, I'll be a little full. I'll gain back that 30 pounds.
All right, let's see. The game of the day yesterday, and I watched a lot of this game also, Tennessee over Baltimore, another overtime game, 30-24, Tennessee rallying from behind, and Derrick Henry winning with a touchdown in overtime. Tennessee's another team that's hard to figure. I mean, they did not play well against the Bears. I was not impressed with them that day. But yet yesterday, they out-toughed a team that prides itself on being pretty tough itself.
Yeah, and they've been a hot and cold team. You're right. They're hard to figure out. But when they're on, they're a tough team to beat.
All right, Cleveland. I don't know. What do you make of them? They're 7-3 for the first time, I think, in 30 years. They beat Philly yesterday 22-17.
Yeah, that's not saying anything. Philly, you know, the whole NFC sucks. So, and Philly's really been hurting.
All right, let's move on. Houston over New England 27-20. I have no thoughts on that game. Washington beat Cincinnati 20-9. Unfortunately, Joe Burrow did go down with that knee injury. Tough thing for the kid because I don't think he would have won Rookie of the Year. I do agree that Herbert or Hebert would have won the award, but Burrow was playing pretty damn good himself.
Yeah, no, both of those guys have really played great football. I just hope that for his sake and Cincinnati's sake that the injury isn't too severe that, you know, when training camp opens up next August, he'll be able to go.
New Orleans, even without Drew Brees, Taysom Hill comes in and has a couple of running touchdowns. So they beat Atlanta 24-9. The Saints have won 7 in a row. Right now they have the best record in the NFC. I don't know, Greg. I think there's at least 3 or 4 teams in the AFC that are better than New Orleans.
Yeah, they don't impress me. They really don't. I think that the NFC South isn't anywhere near as strong as people thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year. And Atlanta, you know, when they fired Quinn as the head coach, you know, they came on a little bit, but now they're falling by the wayside. You know, that's just a bad football team. Denver, by the way, I'll tell you what, that's a quarterback that's going to be available, I bet, in free agency at the end of the year.
You're talking about Hill?
Yeah, no. Atlanta's quarterback.
Oh, Ryan.
Yes.
Okay. Well, he's got a lot of veteran experience. He's also been beaten up a lot over the years. He's been sacked a lot of times.
Yeah, he needs that real strong offensive line.
Well, that's not here in Chicago, so forget
him. Okay.
Denver over Miami, 20-13. Tua was pulled out of the game, not injured, pulled out of the game.
That one surprised me. I didn't watch any of it, but it surprised me only that Denver's a bad football team. And Miami has actually been playing pretty consistently, and they fell flat.
Yeah. The Chargers with Justin Herbert or Herbert.
Herbert.
I like Herbert. It sounds better.
If he lived in Louisiana, that's his name.
Absolutely. Three touchdown passes. The Chargers over the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, 34-28. Can they run the table? They're 0-10.
I think that's a better lock than the Steelers.
And Adam Gase is still there.
Who knows?
By the way,
who does he have pictures of?
I don't know. Oh, and let me ask you. You know, we'll talk about the Giants and Mark Colombo and the supposed fight in just a second here. But the game last night, and I watched this one start to finish. Well, I tell you what, I just love watching Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. He's just it. They beat Vegas, and that was a good game last night, 35-31. But Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and so many, I mean, they're just a talented football team, and they're still my team to win again, barring some injury.
If they have home field advantage, but, you know,
why not?
I know, because, you know, they've lost some games. I'm going to tell you what, my dark horse for the AFC, Buffalo.
Well, that's because you're from
their defense. Their defense. Their offense is as good. They had a horrible game on Monday night a few weeks ago against Kansas City, but throughout that game, and their offense has been really, really good. Their defense has not been, you know, up to par. Not as good as they would like it to be. Their defense comes back together. That could be a team that wins the AFC.
Okay.
You heard it here first, and it has nothing to do with I'm a Buffalonian and my kids are huge Bills fans. How about this? My daughter sends me a picture the other day from the last Bills game, and my now 1-year-old granddaughter has got a little Bills shirt on and like a little Bills cheerleader. She's only been walking for about a month, and she's up there doing a touchdown thing on her tippy toes at a year old. Cute picture.
Well, I still think Kansas City is the class. However, their defense and Vegas scored on them almost repeatedly last year.
That's why Kansas City's defense has not played well this year.
No, it surely hasn't. All right, I was going to ask you about the New York Giants. And Mark Colombo got into at least a verbal spat, maybe a physical one. We don't know for sure. How often do those things happen, more than we even realize? And Colombo got fired, by the way.
Yes, and yeah, a lot more. And I could tell you some stories. Buffalo story. This was when I was working for the Giants, and both these guys may be dead now for all I know. But two offensive coaches, and it was Chuck Bresnahan and Nick Nicolau. Now I think Nick Nicolau has passed, but they got into it. This was on Marv Levy's staff, and Nick Nicolau was the tight end coach, and he was a guy he didn't mess with. Bresnahan had the offensive line, and Nicolau put Bresnahan in a headlock and ran his head into a wall and put a big hole in the wall.
Okay.
And they're on the same side. That's arguing over a game plan. So, I mean, yeah, you know, there's a lot of testosterone in those meetings, and that stuff happens. You know, knowing Mark Colombo, and I haven't seen Mark in years, but, you know, Mark is pretty fiery. Actually did a pretty good job down in Dallas coaching. Yeah. But I think, you know, I read some stuff, it might have been yesterday or earlier today, that this has been a thing that's been kind of simmering over the last few weeks. It's not just when they, you know, that when Judge wanted to bring in an assistant line coach,
right.
That Colombo had a problem with Judge calling out some of the linemen in team meetings, you know, by name instead of doing it more privately. And that's where the whole thing started.
A lot of soap operas behind the scenes that we don't even know about, as you made mention. All right, college football. Every time Penn State loses, I know you're a happy man. 0-5.
They might run the table too.
Jim Harbaugh, he's 2-3, and he escaped with an overtime win against Rutgers. Is he on borrowed time at his alma mater?
I think so, because they're going to play Ohio State, lose by about 60.
Oh,
and you know he's 0-for against Ohio State.
Yeah, he's 0-for against almost anybody good. Speaking of Ohio State, they had a big lead, and credit to Indiana, they came from behind to make it close and had a chance to tie it in regulation, but they went down. You got to be proud of Indiana.
Did you watch any of that game?
I was at the Northwestern game, so
okay.
It was at the TV screen, so I was able to see some of it. Yes,
Indiana had chances, and they caused a fumble in the first half. By North, had a chance to go in and get a score that actually could have been the winning score. They actually shot themselves in the foot. And they outplayed Ohio State. And I think that they almost deserved to win, but they didn't. And the one thing that kind of jumped out to me is Fields is not as good as a lot of people were giving him credit for. Ohio State hadn't played anybody, really, until Indiana. And Indiana, they're a good team. Indiana's like Northwestern. They're very, very well coached. They don't have the talent that some of these other schools have. But in most cases, they're not going to beat themselves. They beat themselves against Ohio State.
All right. Well, are you on the phone with Lovey this week? Because they're hosting Ohio State on Saturday.
Hey, Lovey's won two in a row now.
Right.
And put up a lot of points the other day. Nebraska's got to be terrible, because I think Illinois put up 42 and they were just, running the ball in the second half.
It sure looks like, barring, a couple of losses, and I don't think that's going to happen, Northwestern's going to be in the Big Ten championship game, likely against Ohio State. So that'll be interesting in itself. And I want to talk about one player on Northwestern, Greg, because you know how I feel about cornerbacks who don't look for the football when they have a chance of, picking off a pass here and there.
Right.
They have a freshman on their roster, Brandon Joseph, who had a couple of interceptions in the game against Wisconsin. He's got 5 interceptions on the season. I didn't watch him every play, but I did watch him enough to see that here's a kid who plays the position the way I think you should play it. He actually looks for the football when it's up in the air.
Hey, when Bill Parcells used to have a phrase, and the first time I heard him use this phrase, we were talking about Pepper Johnson, who was an all-pro inside linebacker for us back in the 80s and 90s. And Bill said, the ball finds Pepper. And that's describing this kid at Northwestern. The ball finds him.
Which I think is a great quality to have. All right.
Yep.
The Bears game Sunday at Green Bay. How many times have you been to Lambeau Field? I've been there at least a half a dozen times.
Probably the same.
Okay.
Maybe 8.
Okay. I've always said this. We're lucky, at least in this area, if you're a football stadium fan, South Bend is a cathedral for college football. Lambeau Field is a cathedral for the NFL. I mean, every time I go there, I'm not really crazy, obviously, about Packers and the fans and all that, but Lambeau Field is just a great place for football.
Oh, it is. And from where I live, driving from my house to Lambeau is like a 2-hour-and-15-minute drive. And so I always took my family up there. I'd sit in the press box, but, I take my family up, and they love going there. And they said the Green Bay fans actually, at the tailgate parties and stuff, were super.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange. I've said this repeatedly. The whole town is just, there's a, what is it, the paper towel company or whatever it is that's right there. And then you got Lambeau Field. And there's really not much else that's there. And they have the houses that go all up against to the stadium. And the people rent out their front lawns for parking lots. And the closer you get to the stadium, the more they charge you to park on their lawn. They don't care about whatever grass they have there. I don't know. It's just a special place. And it's great when the Bears win there. But they're not going to win there on Sunday night, Greg.
As much as I'd love to see it happen, I have to agree with you. I hope we're both wrong.
35-3 Green Bay.
Well, you might be right. I'll give them 10 points. Wait a minute. Do you really think the Bears defense is going to give up 35 points?
Well, they shouldn't, but they might get demoralized by their offense, you know, turning the ball over three times.
Well, I've seen that happen once this year, and it only happened for like, seemed like for about a series and a half, where they seemed like, and I forgot what game, but we talked about it on the podcast.
It was the Rams game, and it's been more than one time. They've been demoralized on more than one occasion. That was the most glaring time that it ever happened.
I can't see them giving up 30 points, and I don't care who's playing quarterback for the Packers.
All right, well, we'll see, and we'll be back after that game. That'll be, let's see, Sunday night. So we'll be back Monday morning to recap it.
So we're not doing a later in the week show then.
No, we've already We've already previewed the game.
I mean, we're not doing one on Thanksgiving Day or something, you know.
We have questions for you, David. I'll put them up on the screen for you.
Yeah, well, and thanks for the person who talked about who wants to clean my butt. Thanks for that.
What are the questions?
All right, James. Do scouts cycle in and out with new GMs? Is the question.
Not necessarily a whole staff, but you're going to change the general manager is going to bring in his own scouting director, director of player personnel, director of pro personnel. Might even he'll hold on to the scouting staff usually a year or two. He gets a feel for them and then who he likes and who he doesn't like, and then go from there. I know when we came in, there was two scouts that we let go right away. We held on to the rest of the staff, and some of those guys are still there. They're excellent scouts.
Okay, and here's a question from Jeremy. He's asking, how many games do the Bears win for Nagy to keep his job?
You know what? I think given the circumstances of COVID and everything else, I fans might not want to hear this. I think both Ryan and unless they lose the rest, stink the rest of the way, like under Trestman, I think they're both safe for one more year.
I agree with that. All right. I'll go back to James. Why have Bears been so good at drafting defense but bad at offense, one general manager to the next? That's a good question.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if I have an answer, only because I've never sat in a room with Ryan Pace and talked about players, you know, and what you look for, everybody, there's not a scout in the world that doesn't have strong points and weak points, you know, and you – we used to have our scouts, we didn't cross check by school. We used to cross check by position. And I tried to pair the scouts with, you know, what their strongest position, like at Ballard is great with defensive backs. And so I had Ballard do the defensive backs. And if you look at our drafts during that time, we drafted some really good ones. So I think that's part of the key, but you know, I've sat and talked with Ryan, but never in that capacity, so I can't answer it.
But it is pretty amazing that almost annually the defense is good and the offense is not good, and that's obviously has a lot to do with whoever drafted or made trades to bring the players in. It's just been for as long as I can remember, Greg, and I go back a lot more years than you do with the Bears. It's just been the way it is.
Yeah.
Here's a fact. All right, a question from Brummy Bear. I'm reading it off the screen. Would Greg keep Pace and Nagy for next season, or just Pace, or just Nagy? Or would he fire both and start again? Who would he have as the head coach and general manager? All right, you're now the McCaskies.
Well, we already said I think they're both going to be back.
Right. But if you're the owner,
I'm going to give him one more year. And again, fans are impatient. One of the problems the Bears have had through the years is that they haven't had that consistency. You know, look at Pittsburgh. How many head coaches have they had?
Not many.
Okay. How many general managers have they had?
Not many.
That's right. And so how about they really only had one general manager, and that's Kevin Colbert, because nobody else had the title before that. But, you know, Kevin has been there. He started off at Miami, then he was at Detroit as a pro director. Kevin and I came into the league the same year, And Kevin was an area scout for Miami, and then he went up to Detroit as a pro director, and then from Detroit to Pittsburgh, and he's from Pittsburgh. And just to have that continuity year after year after year makes for better decisions and getting better players. Problem is fans get impatient and then they want turnover. And, you know, it's much easier in a smaller media market like Pittsburgh than it is in a place like Chicago.
Well, it's unfortunate, though, that the general managers for the Bears over the last God knows how many 30 some odd years, maybe longer than that, really have not been successful, to be honest with you, Greg.
Hold it. Time out. Did we go to a Super Bowl?
It went to one.
Okay. Did we win four division championships?
All right. So which
okay.
Hold on. So which general manager are you saying then?
Jerry Angelo.
Okay. Jerry did a good job. And finally was forced out at the end. And then.
I think there's reasons that I'm not going to say on here, but I think one of the public reasons was they brought in that wide receiver from Dallas who had the dope ring going on the side, the drug ring going on the side. And that was a Jerry signing. And that was the impetus to make the change. But there's more to it than that.
All right. Someone's asking me, Greg, can you talk about the former XFL quarterback PJ Walker who started yesterday for Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah. I went down to the Colts camp a year ago. I went to like five or six different NFL training camps, seeing who's going to be available. You know, PJ was never going to be more than the third quarterback, if that, at the Colts. And then they had Kelly last year too, and they wanted to see what Kelly had to offer, so they let PJ go. PJ is undersized. He's got to play in the right scheme. He's only like 5'11". Doesn't have a real strong arm, but he can extend plays with his feet. He's smart. He makes good decisions. But I think, you know, where that's in the NFL, not the XFL, but you put him in the NFL and you get a couple games of tape on him, you're going to find out what his weaknesses are real quick.
Okay, let's see. What's this next question? What is the it's a good question. What is keeping the Bears from extending Allen Robinson? What's going on there? We talked about that weeks and weeks ago now.
You tell me and we'll both know.
I have no idea.
I don't.
At this point, do you think Allen Robinson wants to remain here?
That's a good question. You know, his price may have gone up and say, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else because I know I'm getting the money.
Yeah, he's going to get it from somewhere as long as he stays healthy. The question
but
is,
I'll tell you, one of the keys is, what's the cap really going to be next year? You know, and you know, we had Mike McCartney on earlier in the year as a guest and talking about that. And there's a lot of agents that feel that even though publicly they're saying 10-12% drop in the cap, there's a lot of people who think there's going to be no drop. It's going to be flat and it'll be a one-year thing. And look at this year as kind of an aberration. So I think until you got some of those numbers, that's going to have an effect on free agency throughout the league also.
All right, again, Bears and Packers coming up on Sunday night. We'll be back. No, Greg, we're not coming back on Thanksgiving. I'm eating and watching football all day. So okay. We'll be back on Monday morning. And from myself and yourself and Aldo and everybody here at the Bears Barroom Network, we're wishing everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Be careful out there, folks. That pandemic is still ongoing. We'll talk to you on Monday.